Now it's time for the Coach's Show with Sterling head coach Clint Wiley on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your hosts Rob Strauss and Tad Kozineski. And welcome to another edition of the Coach's Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss, Tad Kozineski, and joined as always by head football coach Clint Wiley, coming off of a 28-20 thrilling victory, I guess we'll call it, against Overbrook last week. Coach, you made a sweat there at the end a little bit.
Without a doubt. And we made the game very interesting. Like I talked to the kids before the game, I said, you're playing against a team who was 2-4 at the time. 2-3 at the time, who have really good athletes. And I said to our team, I said all week, they're athletic enough to beat you if you keep them around. They're not bigger and stronger than us up front. But if you let a team who we should win here stick around and make it close and believe, you never know what's going to happen. But if you go out and do what you're capable of doing, we can make it an interesting game and these kids will quit, just like they did the week before against Hanfield. But we decided, let's keep the game very interesting and let's give them positive reinforcement and let's make it a football game. And you know what? At the end of the day, we came out with the win 28-20. I'd rather have that because that defines a little bit about the character of the team in a tough situation. And hopefully that's going to carry on later on, you know, tonight, next week, and hopefully into the playoffs. I'd rather win a game 28-20 because we put our defense out there a couple times where they needed stops. You know, that fourth down and fourth and one, we came with a stop there, gave us the ball on our side of the field. And then at the end, Vermeer Jenkins making a great interception, you know, because it's 28-20 with 2:35 left in the game, and Vermeer makes a great play to seal the victory for us. So I think that kind of game, we made it an interesting game, but I'd rather walk away, without a doubt, with a win, but also a game like that instead of us winning 50-12, you know, because I think this game last Friday is going to help us down the road.
The tone was set. You talked about it, keeping them in the game on the opening kickoff. Your team's been very good with special teams. You've seen the tape. We haven't had a chance to break it down. What happened on that first play?
Well, a lot of our guys ran down the field. If you watch it, a lot of guys ran down the field untouched, but nobody made a play. We had about six guys over pursuit the ball. And then we always have three what we call linebackers. And two of the three decided to run down like a ball guy where they should have been about 5 to 10 yards back, and they decided not to do it. So at the end of the day, we didn't execute. We had a lot of kids not make a play, and we had some kids decide to do their own thing instead of do what they were coached to do. And hopefully, and I guarantee you this, we spent a lot of time this week focusing on our kickoff coverage. Like the week before, we weren't really happy with our kickoff return unit. But if you from last Friday, I mean, I thought we did really well on our kickoff return because we spent and we emphasized it all week. And trust me, the kids are tired of hearing about 14 points we gave up on kickoff coverage. I mean, because at the end of the day, we open up the game. We're going to we got to go out there and play defense, and we return. They return one for a touchdown. So we're down 7-0. Then we come back and score twice, and then our kickoff coverage again breaks down. And they return it down to, I think, the 15-yard line. And then play later, they score. I mean, at the end of the day, there was 14 points really there off of our kickoff team.
And Coach, you had a couple injuries that to be noted throughout the game. Mm-hmm. Devon Tucker looked like he was a little banged up in that game. And Magnus Connor as well. What are the statuses of those guys coming into tonight's game?
Well, I mean, the sad thing is Magnus Connor is probably going to be done for the year. Magnus, we believe he tore his ACL. Oof. And I want to touch upon that in a second with Magnus Connor. And then to answer your other question, Devon Tucker just re-injured his ankle that he had, that high sprain ankle. But he had a good week of practice, and he'll be fine for tonight. The kid I want to spend some time with is Magnus Connor. We talk about football, starting football. We talk about a family, talking about giving everything you got. And Connor is Magnus is a great example of a starting football player. Here's a kid who's a senior who never started here. You know, he played a little bit on special teams as a junior, and the kid worked his rear end. He's a kid we wanted to wrestle. He went out and wrestled, and I hate to bring this up, but if you look at his record last year wrestling, he didn't do so well. You know, I mean, he had a lot of losses. But this defines who you are as a person. He came back the next day to practice wrestling and kept working and working. And that kid kept competing in a wrestling on the mat, which I think instilled that for him this year coming up on the football season. And Magnus came in, and he's a kid who started a linebacker for us who had a great year. I mean, he had a great game against Western. I mean, he's had a great game all. Even last Friday, till he got injured. And then there's a kid who's really a tight end on offense who we had a couple injuries, we moved him to the offensive tackle. So he's a kid who sacrifices his individual attention for the team. And there's a young man where you're really proud of just seeing him grow in the last 3 years where, you know, this kid wasn't a star. He's not the most athletic kid on the team. But you know what? You can't measure a kid's heart and desire and commitment to a football program. And that's what makes that kid so special. And, you know, we talked last week about losing some kids and at the end of the season where, you know, you're going to miss some guys. I mean, he's one kid that's really stepped up because there's a kid and everything he's been through could have been easy for him to quit. And that's why it's so special to be part of sports, to understand the importance of it, because that kid's going to do well in life because he's been knocked down several times, but that young man just keeps getting back up and back up. And this is going to be a fine example for him now. He's got to, you know, spend some time rehabbing it and hopefully get him back. And but I've been very, very proud of that young man and the commitment he's made to starting football.
We talk a lot about your rushing game, who does this fantastic job. That's going to win you the game.
Yep.
But one of the things, the intangible thing, is going to be the passing game. What are your thoughts last week on the passing game?
I thought Matt did a nice job opening up a little bit. You know, I think he threw two interceptions. One was a bad decision. One was a tip ball. But the other one was the crossing route. He hit our tight end twice. And then the third time, he decided to throw without reading it. And a linebacker was sitting right there. But overall, Matt's been performing what we've been asking of him. I think he's getting better. Tonight, we're going to hopefully open up a little bit more, and hopefully we've improved. Because like you mentioned before, Tad, and we talked about it before, we just need to get better because in the playoff run, we're going to need to have to throw the ball a little bit. And I've been very happy with Matt. We're still not where we need to be, just like anything else. And we need to get better, you know, up front, and I think our backs need to get better. I mean, the thing was disappointing from last Friday is – you know, we suffered an injury with Magnus, so he had to go down. So then we had to throw a young guy in there who got an opportunity. He went out there swinging. He tried, but wasn't, you know, he didn't always execute what we asked of him. Our running backs, I don't think, did a great job of blocking, where week in and week out, those guys have been doing a great job blocking for one another. We ran a lot of sweep and toss plays, and what we were doing up front with the running backs and the tight end, we were running by people, where at the end of the day, you got to find a guy, get on him, and stay on him. And hopefully, you know, we spent a lot of time this week working on that, and we'll hopefully get better. But to answer your question, I mean, Matt, I thought he performed all right. He did what we asked of him. And, you know, we just need to get better from last week's performance.
On the other side of the ball, Coach, from the passing side of things, defending the pass this time around.
Yeah.
From a fan's perspective, one may say that Sterling kind of got exposed a little bit, especially on the longer passes.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end of the game where
right.
Overbrook was making a comeback. What are your thoughts on defending the pass this year?
Overall, I thought we've been a lot better than we have been in the past. But to answer your question, I agree with you. We were a little bit exposed the other night. I don't know if the word exposed is the correct word to use, but we just didn't make plays. We didn't execute. There was opportunities. They threw the ball up, and we had guys. They went up and made the plays. I mean, give Overbrook credit. They went up, got the ball, and made the plays when they needed to play. I thought defensively, I thought we played pretty well up front. The front seven, front eight played really well. I thought our secondary played really poorly. And they didn't show up and play. We gave up assignment bust, coverage bust, and just not going up and making plays. I mean, at the end of the day, we won the game 28-20. But the way I look at it, our kickoff unit hurt us, gave up 14 points, and I believe our secondary hurt us on the defensive side of the ball. They were able to execute third down and longs, what I preach all the time. Got to get off the field on third down. No turnovers, no penalties, and third down. Win the third down battle. We didn't win the third down battle. Another scoring opportunity we did. Just talking about being smart football. I will never question our effort and our determination on this football team. We got kids who play hard. They'll leave it on the ground. I mean, they'll leave everything on the field for our team. But we just don't play smart all the time. It was 3rd and 12. They're coming away from the scoreboard. They try to decide to throw a pass, incomplete pass. But one of our young men decided to hit the quarterback out of bounds. Well, one, we're coming off the field, getting our chance for offensive backfield. But because we made a boneheaded play and we want to make an individual play and try to hit the quarterback, now we give them another chance. They get back on the field. Now it's first down again. Then they end up executing a fourth down on that drive. And later on, they end up, because of a coverage bust, they end up scoring on that drive. So really, there's those 20 points right there. One, doesn't go back to Overbrook. It comes back to Sterling High School, us controlling those things. And everything that happened the other night can be corrected. And we worked, I mean, that was our main focus this week, our coverage and our kickoff coverage.
Specifically, when you're in the secondary,
uh-huh.
if your kids are back there, is it cut and dry? Like they have a certain area or a certain receiver, or is there a lot of communication, or are they lacking?
No, there's not. We don't do a lot of communication stuff because I think that's where the kids end up making a lot of mistakes, and that's where they can start pointing the finger. Oh, he said this, I said this. Here's the easiest way we play the secondary, which is very, very easy, Ted. You play pass, you play pass, you play pass, and you help out in the run game. You know what I'm saying? All those four things we talk about. You play pass. No, and here's another thing we tell them. Nobody gets deeper than you. Okay? So it is really easy to play the secondary for us. Now, it's easier said than done, but just don't keep everybody in front of you, all right, and play pass first. And then if run, you do see run after you played pass, 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 now you come up and now help us in the run game. We just – alignment assignment. The thing that bothers me, Ted, is we played a wing T team the last 3 weeks. I mean, you didn't see any really assignment breakdowns against West Effort. I thought our kids were focused in. We didn't tackle well, you know. But last week, you know, Overbrook did the same thing. And tonight you're going to see Gateway. They're going to do the same thing wing T-wise. We got to line up. So we've been playing, doing the same thing for the last almost 3 weeks of practice. So I think it's a lack of focus and things that hopefully we corrected as a coaching staff and the kids understand the importance of it, because it's not acceptable, you know, especially where we're at right now, 5-1, hopefully being 6-1 after tonight. You know, when you're a playoff team and we're here to win a championship, you cannot give up third down plays and long pass plays.
Would you you hear this a lot in sports. You hear good wins, bad wins, good losses, bad losses. Where would you put this one? Would you put this one, even though it was 28-20, would you put this as a bad win?
I definitely would. But it's a win. And one thing I learned from Coach Talley is you have to enjoy the wins, no matter if it's an ugly win. You know, the other night was an ugly, bad win. But you know what? They don't come around a lot often, so you might as well enjoy them and take the positives out of them. I mean, there's a lot of positive things that happened the other night, and there's a few negative things. But we as coaches always want to dwell and focus on those negative things, because those are the things that we can coach up and get better, and hopefully we can come out and perform and correct those mistakes that we had the other night. The first thing I'm really excited about is I've thought about this, but I don't know if I'm going to do it. But, I mean, if we win the toss, I want to kick off. I want to see our kickoff coverage team. You know, that's what I really want to see. Right. But is that who we are? No. But there's part of me where, hey, I want to put you guys up on the field first because this is what we worked on, and question your manhood and find out what kind of character we have. Are we going to come back swinging when play like we're capable of playing or not? But we're a team normally, if we win the toss, we always take the ball. But I haven't made that decision yet. But that's my thought. So to answer your question, it was a win for Sterling football, but it was an ugly, bad win, and it always bothers you as a coach. You know, when you stay up all night watching that game over and over again, you're not happy with it, with the win. You want to correct those mistakes because you know you could be a lot better.
And this is a nice segue into tonight's game against Gateway. They play on a beautiful turf field.
Yeah.
And how do you prepare your team that plays on grass for predominantly most of the season? How do you prepare them for playing on a turf field? And it's going to be a wet night. That field, as we saw a couple of years ago, Ted, went over there. It was pouring rain, but that field is perfect. How do you prepare your team to play on a different surface?
Well, a surface like that, I mean, really, it's tough. It's tough to prepare your kids for it because, well, I mean, what do you have to be able, you know, when it's a wet day, it's raining, we're going to get ahead and practice with the wet balls and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, the surface, we don't have anything out here that's like that kind of surface. So it's more, hopefully the kids just get used to it. Our pregame warm-ups, we'll go out there an hour beforehand. Hopefully the kids get used to it. But one thing that's going to be nice about playing on there tonight, it's been raining. It's a little wet out. I think it's going to be great temperatures, so it shouldn't really affect us. And that's the one nice thing about having a turf field is the weather conditions.
Do they wear different sneakers, like your college experience?
Great question. Yeah, right, college. So the answer to your question is no, they wear same cleats. It could be the screwing cleats or the molded cleats, just like they would on the grass field. Back when I used to play on the old turf, we used to be able to wear football cleats, but more we used to wear the sneakers. You know, you guys call them sneakers, right?
Yes.
Okay, my wife teased me all the time. I call them tennis shoes where I'm from.
They're sneakers.
But my wife's always like, they're sneakers. I call them tennis shoes. But the old basketball sneakers, you would just wear those on the old turf when I used to play. But now with this new artificial turf they have, I mean, it's just like playing on grass. The kids will wear the same exact cleats that they would on the grass field. But the thing is, it's going to be nice. It won't be muddy. You know, the weather's condition shouldn't be a factor. The ball will be a little bit wet. But it'd be nice. I mean, we have two schools in our conference that have it. Gateway and now Haddonfield just got the turf field this past season. So it's something that's growing, especially in South Jersey. A lot of schools in the Pennsylvania area have field turf. And to me, field turf is a great thing, not only for football, for all sports, soccer, field hockey, lacrosse, everything in your community.
rumors have been floating around the last several years here about Sterling possibly getting turf. Is there any truth to that rumor at all?
I have no idea.
I didn't know if there was, if you guys were briefed on that, or if that's more of a board of education decision. Or,
yeah, definitely a board of education decision.
But if you had your choice.
If I had my choice, I would get turf field.
Okay.
I would get turf field because it's great for the kids. It's also, I mean, it's great for everyone in Sterling High School, because to me, my beliefs on it, it's great for the school. It's great for all sports. You can have soccer games out there at night. You can have a soccer game and then have a football game. It's great for your youth programs. It's great for, you know, to me, it's all about the community. If you can get your youth football team up here playing, you get your youth soccer up here playing, you get your youth field hockey up here playing, get your youth lacrosse teams up here playing, now you got this community invested in this school because they're up here all the time. It's like anything else, the more people get around our campus, being at Sterling High School, you know, they get a better feel, more of a love for this school, and they want to send their kids here, and they see how special this place is in the community. I mean, I always say this is a sleeping giant here because not a lot of people are aware of what Sterling has to offer. I mean, the academics are compared to anybody in South Jersey, and then the facilities we have here, I mean, our weight room's unbelievable. Our facilities are great out here. And then if you've got the turf field, I mean, that would put us up one of the elite programs, school districts in South Jersey.
And not to mention a really cool TV and radio station.
Type. That's right.
Without a doubt. By, and I would say by far the best.
Thank you.
And we're very lucky and fortunate.
We look at Gateway from a media standpoint. We see they haven't won in over 2 years. Give us an overall scouting report on Gateway.
They haven't won in 2 years? I haven't.
They haven't won in over 700-some days.
Oh, really?
October. Phew. I think it's October 8th of 2011.
I don't pay attention to that. But
Well, can you give us a scouting report of what we're going to see from Gateway? Because we see stats like that.
Yeah, and, Gateway was a spread team. They were a team that was shotgun, four wide receivers. They spread you out to run the football. This year, I believe about three, 4 games, they transferred from the run and gun offense to more of a wing T offense. Basically what we're doing. So it'll be the third week in a row that we'll see a wing T offense. You know, I think their coach does a good job with those guys. They're big up front. I don't think they're the most talented group of young men that we're going to be seeing, that we see, you know, from other teams like Overbrook last week. But their kids are out there and they're fighting and they're playing hard. So to me, tonight's game's about us again. Like I say every week, it's about us going out there performing what we can do. And I'm really excited about tonight seeing our kids step up from last week. And to me, as a coach, all you got to focus on is trying to get better from week one to week two, week six to week seven. And then because at the end here, you need to get hot. And that's where we're at right now. I mean, tonight is more about, you know, seeing if our kids can execute up front on the offensive line, can block, and if our running backs, you know, should have a good night tonight. And then on defense, I'm really excited to see how our secondary responds to last week's performance. And same thing with special teams.
What's the one area that you would like to see that's under the microscope from a head coaching standpoint from last week to this week? Is it special teams? Is it?
You know, I would say kickoff coverage.
Or is it
kickoff coverage and a secondary?
Okay.
I mean, that's huge for me. We got a couple wrinkles, and we're going to try some new guys out there. And you guys may be a little interesting to see out there playing a little bit in the secondary. But we're just trying. We're experimenting a few things, and we're trying to get some kids out there who's going to compete. And when the ball's up in the air, go up and get it. And, you know, the kids had a good week of practice. And it was pretty neat. Like yesterday was Halloween. Now, this is definitely not who I am as a person, but it's always good for the kids and stuff. But yesterday at practice, we had Halloween at Sterling football, and the kids got to dress up in their costumes. So our yesterday's practice was very interesting and funny, and the kids did a great job with their outfits. And
any coaches?
Oh, outfits? Yeah. Oh,
what
yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah, John Corey did a phenomenal job imitating me. And he dressed up, and he was going around yelling and, you know, acting like me. He was funny. And we had
– we should get him in here. Get him on the show.
I'm telling you what, we've got to do a little skit. We had a couple Dante did our offensive line coach, Coach Carletti, to a T, and the kids were laughing and stuff like that. We also had Mr. Redmond show up in his suit. Dressed up. He was handing out detention slips.
Nice.
And,
nice.
You know, so we had some guys dressed up. we had some kids dressed up like some, you know, teachers and coaches in the building. But the kids did a great job with it, and they had fun. That's the main thing. We had fun yesterday at practice.
We have that picture on the website so people can check it
out.
Oh,
really? All right. Cool.
I took that picture. I thought that was a neat little thing there. I thought now let's go, what do I call it? Give us a little lesson here.
Okay.
I've never had the opportunity to play football.
Okay.
Give me a base play call And if we're sitting in the huddle, what are kind of our instructions? Give like a base call that you would send in to your quarterback, Matt, who's going to send in the huddle, and give the fans an idea of what the responsibilities are at that. What, okay. What am I mentally going to learn? Teach me about the play here.
Well, first of all, we'd come in with the form. With the first thing we would say was the formation. So we would say red. Red is our formation where our tight end's on the right-hand side and our wings to the right-hand side also. So red tells the tight end where to go. If we want blue, means to the left, the tight end would go to the left and the wing would go to the left. So basically we're going to go red, weak, means the backfield set. The fullback's always stacked right behind the quarterback. The running back on weak is away from the tight end and wing. And then the split end is away from the tight end wing. So okay. Red would tell the tight end in the right wing to go to the right side, tell the split end go to the left, away from the right, the red and blue call. And then the weak would tell the running back, the offset back, the Leo, which we call in our offense, he would go away from the tight end. If we called strong, he would then just shift over to the tight end and wing side. So we're going to run 34 power. 34 power is that left weak running back is going to carry the football. What we're going to do is we're running it right off the tackle tight end side. So it's 34. It's an even number. It's to the right. Our even numbers are to the right. Our odd numbers are to the left. So we would just go red, 34 power. So now what we're doing is we're doubling down. We're all blocking down tight end, tackle, and guard on the play sides blocking down. Our center's blocking back. Our left guard is going to pull and wrap for the play side linebacker.
Okay.
Our fullback, who's stacked right behind our quarterback, is going to be he's going to kick out the first man outside the tight end. So we're going to block everybody down inside the tight end, and the first guy outside the tight end, our fullback's going to block out. And then our quarterback's going to open up to the weak side, hand it off to the Leo back, and he's going to hit it, and he's going to follow the pulling guard, the left guard. And it's been a great play for us. Basically, they call power football. It's the old Washington Redskins play. And we just call it red, which is formation. Weak sets the backfield set, and then it's 34 power.
That is, I mean, you can see right there, Rob, why it's the ultimate team game. Not only do you have to execute, you got to be able to, in the huddle, be able to remember what the formation is.
Yep.
And you have to trust that everybody does their job.
Without
one person, especially on that offensive line, doesn't do their job, that play is a complete bust.
Correct. And not only this, I mean, those offensive linemen have to be in their stance and have to have their eyes up, because it's not like, hey, if somebody's lined up on your outside shoulder, that guy's going to be in there. Now you have to worry about a linebacker stepping up and blitzing. You know what I'm saying? So you have to react on the run sometimes. It's not like, okay, he's here, that means he's going to be here. You know, he lines up here, that means that's where he's going to end up at the end before the ball snaps. Or when the ball snaps, that's where he's going to stay. There's a lot of pieces that are going to be moving around, and our kids got to be able to now see what's going on and then now trigger that in their mind and execute their blocking and their technique, what we teach them. And there's a lot of things that go into the game.
Snap count, is there a standard?
Yeah, there's always a snap count. You know, we go on one or on two. So not only those kids got to listen to formation, they got to listen to snap count. So now you got 11 guys up there who got to be focused. Now they got to listen to quarterback's cadence. And then once sometimes through our cadence, which triggers guys to go in motion, not to go in motion. And then once, you know, it's on one or two, they got to stay focused. And to me, that's 11 guys. That's before the snap.
Yep.
You know, them understanding the formation, got to get lined up, what's the snap count? And then once they hear that snap count, if it's on one, now it's those guys executing those blocks and reacting on the run to what the defense is doing at the same time, and hopefully good enough to be able to execute the blocking schemes for it all go. Because on paper, they all look good, you know, but it's like the old, remember when we grew up, we had the old, I forget the name of the old football, where the machine, you could move those guys around, then you hit the electric thing where it all bounced them around, and they all 22 guys would hop around. It'd take you like 5 minutes to get one play done. I forget.
Electric football?
Yeah, something like that. I'm so old, I can't remember.
Now, in your mind now, you just ran that play out. They're getting ready to run it. Mm-hmm. Are you paying attention to that play, or are you already thinking, all right, what am I calling next?
Yeah, my thought process is, what am I thinking? If we get the first down here, or if we get 5 yards, what's my next play? If we get stopped here, what's my next pass play? You know what I'm saying? So my thought process is, it's tough for me to focus in on the play. I'm learning as I go with this thing, but I'm more, once I call the play in, I'm now thinking of my next call in. Is it a run play? Is it a pass play? Is it to the right, to the left? You know, there's a lot of preparation that goes in before.
So as this play is developing or not developing, depending on how it goes, you're already thinking
of
the next play, and you only have 35 seconds to get that play into Matt, who sends it into everybody else, who transmits that information to everybody else. So a lot of moving parts here.
A lot. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. There's a lot of time spent watching film and the preparation of now you're trying to draw up formations and you're trying to think in your mind. It's like a little chess play. You know, you take a chess game. You're trying to think how they're going to defend you. Here's how they're going to line up. Now, how are you going to attack them? And that's where all the film study, you know, throughout the week, going into the game preparation, if we get in this formation, this is how they're going to defend us. They're going to defend us this way or that way. Well, if they are going to defend us this way, how are we going to attack them? Those are the things that I had to have already pre-scripted before the game and say, okay, they come out in this six-man front. These are 1, 2, and 3. These are the plays we're trying to run against them. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes in behind the scenes about coaching, you know, football. And the main thing is, no matter how much football I know or my coaches know, it's all about what the kids can understand and what they can handle. Because the last thing you want to do is you want the kids out there thinking. Because once they start to think, that slows them down and that limits their athletic ability.
Do you have – because you're talking about all these plays getting in and out, and we're kind of running out of time, so I guess a quick answer. Maybe we'll revisit next week. Do you have to have a coach that's watching the clock and things like that?
Yeah,
to keep you
got coaches up top who are, one, seeing what the other team's formations, who personnel they're changing. Okay, so if I'm on offense, we're on offense right now, I'm looking at my coaches upstairs are saying, okay, they're subbing another defensive tackle, so they're coming into a heavy package. So then I know, hey, we got to be able to attack them somewhere else. Or, hey, they're taking a defensive lineman off the field, and now they're bringing another secondary guy in there. So they're communicating that. It's tough for – the biggest thing is tough for a coach to be sitting there going, all right, what's going on? I mean, you know, you only got 30 seconds, coach. You got 10 seconds. You know, really, they'll just say, hurry up the play. All but right. Beforehand, right now you're going, I'm going, okay, coaches, what do you guys want here? So each coach is saying, okay, I like to run power here. I like to run belly here. You know what I'm saying? So then they're giving me their suggestion. At the end of the day, I got to make that final decision, that split decision to get and go. Because that's why sometimes you're like, darn, man, I missed on that call. You know what I'm saying? But people don't realize you only have, like, really 15 seconds to make that split decision. What's the next best call, next best formation to get your kids out there in the best situation to make a play?
Well, we'll have to see if that red 34 power works out well for you tonight, there, Coach. Best of luck tonight against Gateway.
Hey, thank
it's
you.
5-1 Sterling against the winless Gateway Gators coming up. Coach, as always, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you. Go Knights.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Coach's Show right here on Sterling High School Radio. Coming up, live coverage with myself, Mr. K, and Mr. Schulz. And you're listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We're back right after this.
Good rebound
by Terry Crisman. Looks like he's fouled there. Puts up a desperation shot. And
he goes in!
It's good! It's good!
Terry Crisman powering to win the game! Terry Crisman,
you're
free!
You're gotta be kidding me!
As Sterling upsets the Delsey Crusaders!
You have gotta be kidding me!
First and goal from the 4. Preston Harrison going to run out. He's 4 yards away from pay dirt. Passes it complete. The touchdown! Marcus Taylor from Preston Harrison.
They got to shoot it. Kylie, shot.
Here we go.
Sterling trying to slam it home.
Sanchez got third. Sterling, the group 2 champ of volleyball.
Connor Walsh inbounds to Marcus Taylor. 5 seconds left to go. Marcus Taylor all the way up the floor. Takes a shot. And it's good! Marcus Taylor at the buzzer. And it's over. Marcus Taylor hits a shot at the buzzer. Sterling wins 50-49.
5 seconds left. Tied at 52. The inbound. Schmidt's got it. Good! Got it! He got it! To win the ball game. Point Schmidt.
And now, Sterling Radio presents live coverage of Sterling High School sports right here on the one and only WSHS Sterling High School Radio.